Who'd have thought that would be one of the most intimidating sounds you would ever hear?
Yeah, it is like that.
This week on the first run, we duck and dodge the onslaught of violence that is the Indonesian import, the Raid Redemption. It's billed as one crime lord, 20 cops, and 30 floors of chaos. But does it really deliver on its breakneck concept of potential all-out badassery? We'll review the big releases on Blu-ray and DVD for this upcoming Tuesday, May 1st, then run down an inventory of our favorite foreign action films. So you better be wearing a cup, because it's going to be a little rough this week.
Dan jangan lupa bersenang-senang.
So, Dave, this week we're talking about The Raid Redemption, part, I guess, now of a planned trilogy. And, of course, a U.S. remake is already in the works.
Starring the same actor?
I don't believe so.
Then I don't care.
So what we have is, just a little background, is The Raid, where a bunch of cops are going to raid an apartment building that is run by a crime lord. And everybody that's in the building pretty much pays dues to live there and is a criminal. Murderer, rapist, drug dealer, whatever the case may be. For the most part, there are, I guess, some other people that live there who may have some ulterior motives or different backgrounds. And the cops go in to raid the building, and they pretty much are going to be ambushed. Everybody finds out that they're there. They get revealed, and the crime lord pretty much sets out a bounty for all its residents to kill all the police. Mm-hmm. And now it's not about them raiding. It's about them surviving.
Yeah. Kicking ass.
So, Dave, did the movie deliver on its promise?
Holy shit, it did. This was, without a doubt, the best action movie I've seen. I was going to say, since Mission Impossible, I think it's better than Mission Impossible.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, this was just brutal and awesome fun.
Yes.
Badass.
I would say it's a different film than Mission Impossible.
Absolutely.
Mission Impossible 4, or as we know it as Ghost Protocol, is a grandiose, large action spectacle.
Yeah.
Like a summer blockbuster, popcorn-y type movie.
Yeah.
That's not this.
No.
This is a balls-to-the-wall action film.
Yeah, just
it
a
is,
fighting. It's a movie about a dude who can kick ass.
It's violent.
Bunch of dudes.
It is gory. Yeah. It has got nonstop action. Once the fight scenes kick in, it pretty much doesn't let up for the rest of
the
film.
And they kick in right away. You got like probably like 2 or 3 minutes of plot, and then let's go kick ass.
Yeah, this film has some of the most thrilling fight scenes I have ever seen.
Yeah. Definitely.
And it's beautifully shot and gorgeously choreographed.
And none of that crappy wire foo that's all popular now. I mean,
I was
going to
ask you about that.
Kick ass.
Yeah, there isn't a lot of the whole, you know, no. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon type stuff.
I hate that, too. It's just so stupid looking.
And, yeah, it's there. Now, One thing I appreciated, but I wonder about this kind of stuff, because they kind of make a half-hearted attempt to create kind of a structure and a plot. But really, it's just an artifice to serve the whole, to drive the film forward. One of the cops is a brother to one of the criminals. I'm not really spoiling anything. They kind of give that away in the very beginning of the film. And that's the whole point of the redemption, too. But you don't really even care.
No, it really...
You're just watching one guy, for the most part, but kick everybody's ass in this building.
Yeah, there's really two real badass dudes in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
One is the main character. I think he's played... His name is... And I'm going to murder this name.
Dude, you can.
Eco Uwais.
Yep.
That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And the other guy, who I can't figure out... I'm sure you're looking at IMDb right now.
Yeah.
The character he plays is just Mad Dog.
Yep.
And he
Ruyan.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. he is one of the most badass people I've ever seen on screen.
Little guy too, from what you can tell, at least the way they shoot him.
These guys clearly are like highly trained martial artists.
Mm-hmm.
I actually did some looked up the background on the main character, Eco Uwais.
Yep.
The guy was actually discovered by the director.
Mm-hmm.
While the director was filming a documentary about whatever type of martial art that is, I can't remember what it's called. Silat, S-I-L-A-T, I guess is what it's called. Anyway, so the guy was filming a documentary, goes to school, sees this dude just, you know, making it look awesome, and hires him to be a movie star on the spot. Like, just said, do you want to be a lead actor in movies?
Nice.
Yeah. So the guy quit, you know.
It's kind of like your story with joining the show.
Right. Uwais, like, quit his day job and started becoming now he's an actor. It was a pretty good story, I thought. But the guy clearly can fight.
Oh, yeah.
Same with the Mad Dog. I mean, the guys, they just sell it so well. And the fight scenes are so brutal.
Mm-hmm.
The knife fight in the hallway.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's one of those films, so we try and stay away from the this scene was so cool, but that's kind of what this movie is.
It's just one awesome scene after another.
Now, one thing I felt that I love the concept of the movie, when they're fighting their way through this building.
Yeah.
I felt, though, that they kind of abandoned that like halfway through the film. I would like to have kind of seen maybe a little bit more of the whole concept of going floor by floor. I mean, it's much more integral, I kind of felt, like the first half, and afterwards they kind of almost kind of disregard everything just for the sake of the action of everything.
Yeah.
It's to focus more on the brothers and then his just attempt to get out of the building, which is fine. But you know, it's a minor point, because even though they don't really develop an emotional connection in the film, it doesn't really matter.
I did develop an emotional connection with the main character. I really dug him. Everybody else, and I really like Mad Dog, obviously.
Yeah.
We've been talking about him constantly. Everybody else was kind of like throwaway. Part of it, too, was that it was a foreign language film, so all the dialogue I'm reading, I'm not like getting like the full.
But how much dialogue
experience.
Is really even? I think you got about 20 minutes of dialogue
I didn't care that much about the story. The story was good enough that like it didn't get in the way.
Right.
But this movie is just a full-on ass-kicking movie. And it pulls it off perfectly.
Now, let me ask you, too. I saw the theater, I was probably about 15 people in the theater with me.
Yeah.
And there were many times where it was one of those, oh!
Yeah.
kind of moments.
Whole theater's doing it like, oh! And then everybody starts chuckling.
Yeah, and that's when you know you're in for a good time.
Yeah, that was fun. I was in a movie theater filled with people who just were like, everybody's just like, oh! Oh, that dude's dead. Oh, that dude's a badass!
Yeah, that's pretty much how the film works.
Yeah, I haven't seen a body count like that.
Yeah,
since like probably that last Rambo movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just like dude after dude just getting messed up. It was awesome.
It does. It's either way. I was thinking about it too. I mean, it is. If you're into hardcore action, if you look really, this is probably one of the, if not one of the best martial arts films I've ever seen. You'd be hard pressed to find anything more action-packed than this film. I mean, it is ultra-violent and endlessly entertaining.
Yeah, it really breaks the mold of what we've been seeing a lot lately since Crouching Tiger. I don't even know. It might have started before that. with all the wire foo and the, you know, the CGI fight scenes. I hate that. It just looks awful. These guys are just, like, beating the snot out of each other. It's awesome.
So what do you have a recommendation
for? Oh, God, you got to see this. This is awesome. You have to see this.
I would agree. If you get a chance to see it, too, I think you... I would say, too, if you get a chance to see it in the theater, I think you want to have the big screen surround sound impact of the bone crushing and the...
Yeah.
The knife dodging.
I'll tell you what, though. If you're squeamish about blood and gore, maybe not. Maybe you don't want
to
check this one.
Yeah, well, if the movie even appeals to you, it's going to deliver exactly what you're looking for.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, The Raid Redemption is playing in limited theaters everywhere. I think it's starting to run to the end of its run, at this point, too, sadly.
Get there quick.
And if you had a chance to see it, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Send us an email at thefirstrun@gmail.com. I'm going to take a quick break, come back, and tell you what's coming out on Blu-ray and DVD this upcoming Tuesday, May 1st.
He said to come pick you up. You're really starting to cut into my vacation time, so can we go, please? You're really not getting in the car, are you?
I don't think so.
She is our nation's most valuable weapon.
You got a car?
That's why they trained her.
Negotiations broke down. Just need somebody to go and get the guy.
Wow, that's actually real?
Oh, yeah.
That's why they trusted her.
I have an assignment. It's like a paid holiday.
Diplomatic plates. If it's an emergency, slap them on.
You want me to be eye candy?
You guys would be like the perfect couple.
So why did they betray her?
Paul? Is the divorce final?
Paul, are you there?
Mallory.
The Barcelona deal went down. I fix it.
You can tell me right now why you sold me out, or you can tell me when I have my hands around your throat.
You should be in her father's living room telling him that his daughter killed a man in cold blood.
Keep your eyes open.
I haven't shut my eyes since you were born.
This January.
Keep your head down.
Finding the truth.
Should I be nervous?
I'll let you know.
What do you know about her?
She was a Marine. She does something. There must be a reason for it.
Will be her most dangerous mission.
She's a public threat.
What did you do?
I did what I was contracted to do.
But isn't there someone you should be calling to bring help?
You better run.
Dave, these Blu-ray releases this week, this upcoming Tuesday, it's pretty much all for the ladies.
Oh, good.
You ready? First off, we have one that kind of goes for the men, but has a nice little female empowerment tone. Haywire, Gina Carano,
the
Ultimate Fighter, comes a Blu-ray digital copy, and it's behind-the-scenes featurettes. I really liked this film when I saw it. I don't know if I have any interest in revisiting it. It's entertaining and stuff, and I'd like to see a sequel. But I was going back and forth. Initially, I'm like, man, it's Soderbergh. What's weird about the film for me is that if you're looking for Soderbergh's artsy style and flash, you're not really going to get it. But if you also kind of want of a more, and I use this term loosely, mature, straightforward, but very visually entertaining and interesting film, I think it's going to pay off. I enjoy Haywire a lot.
Yeah,
it's got a stellar cast, too.
Yeah, it does.
Fassbender, McGregor, Michael Douglas.
How well did this movie do?
It did okay.
Okay.
It did all right. After that, now we're kicking into gear for the ladies. New Year's Eve, one of the more critically reviled films. Yes, comes a Blu-ray DVD ultraviolet version, as well as just a Blu-ray ultraviolet version of commentary with Gary Marshall. Three behind-the-scenes featurettes, deleted scenes, and a gag reel. That's one of Marshall's films where he gets a whole bunch of stars together to celebrate a holiday. And this film tanked at the box office and had horrible reviews. Not Jack and Jill bad, but still really bad.
When you can't even get a chuckle out of a trailer, Mm-hmm. Yeah, a bad movie.
Because worst case, too, a lot of times the comedies will put the best tropes in the trailer sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We is coming out on Blu-ray and DVD. Madonna's directed film. It's a Blu-ray DVD digital copy about the, was it the Duke who gave up his title to marry a common woman? And,
what's her name?
Yeah, the Duchess of your mom. I don't remember what the hell it is. Which is funny, too, is my ancestry, my actually that happened in my family. We had a duchess who stepped down to marry a common man.
That's what you call it, step down?
Yeah, that's, mm-hmm. yeah, pretty much. She relinquished her title. Anyway, the film, another film that was critically reviled, is getting Blu-ray and DVD. So if you wanted to check that out, I don't see why you would. That's coming out as well. Another old film that just the kids just ate up, Joyful Noise, with Dolly Parton and Queen Latifah, about warring singers in a restaurant or something. I don't even remember. In a
choir or something, right?
Yeah, something like that. Blu-ray, DVD, ultraviolet, digital copies. I should search a digital copy. And then Blu-ray, ultraviolet as well.
I like Queen Latifah.
Do you?
Yeah, something about her. She's just funny. She's like a genuine person.
I'm Queen Latifah out.
Personality comes through in movies, and I just like her. I don't know.
I'm just Queen Latifah out. I just don't care anymore. I'm done. I've moved on. Spotlight on a Song, Dolly Parton's From Here to the Moon, three behind-the-scenes featurettes, and extended songs. So if you're into that, then this is your payoff. Here's what I found interesting, actually. A Tim Burton collection includes a hardcover book about his films and the director, and includes the following movies, which is interesting, I think, more for some of the films that are left off than the films that are actually on it. Maybe it's probably licensing studio issues. But you do get Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Beetlejuice, Batman, Batman Returns, Mars Attacks, Corpse Bride, and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. But you don't get Edward Scissorhands.
What?
Right? What are some Burton films you don't get that don't make the list?
Nightmare Before Christmas?
Yep. That's not on the list. So, interesting why they chose what they chose, but that's it. So, if you're a Burton fan, that might be something you want to look into. New to Blue, here's some films getting their first release on Blu-ray. About a Boy, the Hugh Grant film. Clueless. And then Definitely Maybe, a charming little film I saw a few years ago that I actually liked a lot. That's because I'm a Ryan Reynolds fan, and Isla Fisher's in it. Now you're straight to DVD pick of the week. The write-up isn't really that interesting. The film doesn't look that interesting, but the cover of the DVD is what sold me.
That should work well on a podcast.
Well, I'm going to post it. I'm going to see about posting it in the notes of the show, or at least on the website as a little thing, a little picture on the posting. It's called Rise of the Animals. After infiltrating an all-girls slumber party in a remote cabin, Wolf, who's just a guy, his name is Wolf, of course, very, very clever. An awkward pizza delivery driver spends a passionate evening with a beautiful teen named Samantha. The next morning, Samantha's gone, and the cabin in the woods is attacked by a family of deer. I'm not sure if they're armed or not. After a brutal massacre, the cabin is bathed in the blood and the gruesome remains of deer and teenage girl. Wolf, his best friend Jake, and Jake's sister Rachel are the only ones left standing. Wolf finds Samantha's cell phone amidst the bloodbath, and the trio set out on an epic cross-country journey to return the lost phone of the girl of Wolf's dreams. As animals across the globe turn on humanity and society quickly collapses into chaos, Wolf's determined spirit pushes him forward against all odds. But is she worth it?
That doesn't even make any sense.
No, it's stupid. But my favorite part is on the cover. And, Dave, I'm not sure if you can see this. But there's a bear. With a thick human hand in its hand. There's a rabid moose. But then there's right in the front, there's a squirrel.
Chewing on an eyeball.
Eating an eyeball. And that's really what nailed it for me. Is the bloodthirsty, ravenous really squirrels.
Now I see why.
Because I know if anything's taking me down, it's going to be a squirrel, maybe a chipmunk.
The rabbit of destruction.
It's got a huge face. So that's it. That's my straight to DVD pick of the week. Dave, do you have a streaming pick for us?
I do. Before I tell you it, though, a couple weeks ago, my pick was Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog.
Yes.
I have since learned that if you get the DVD,
mm-hmm.
the director's, what is it called? Like the director commentary is sung.
Really?
They sing the director's commentary all the way through the movie.
Wow, so you're gonna push people to that instead, aren't you?
Gotta check it out. Right? Right. It's like getting a movie in a movie.
Right.
I heard a clip of it. It was hilarious, so I'm actually gonna check it out. But my pick for this week is Merantau. I think that's how you say it. It's spelled Merantau.
Mm-hmm.
And guess who it is?
What?
It is Iko Uwais' first movie with Gareth Evans directing. It just got put on Netflix. I'm sorry, that's not true. I just found out about it on Netflix. let me give you a brief synopsis. Typical small town, highly trained warrior goes to big city and whoops everybody's ass story. There's a girl and a psychotic pimp, story of redemption, and even a bit of lady shipping.
Lady shipping?
Really, the reason to watch this, though, is because you watch The Raid, you love The Raid, you want to see what else this kid can do.
Yeah.
And he does a lot of cool stuff in this movie. It doesn't really, it's not as good as The Raid.
No.
But if you're at all interested in this actor, it was pretty cool.
Interesting.
So that is my streaming pick of the week.
Thanks, Dave. And that's also what's coming out on Blu-ray and DVD this upcoming Tuesday, May 1st. It's going to take another break, come back, and then run down an inventory of our favorite foreign action films. We'll be right back.
Empty your mind. Be formed like water. Now, water can flow or it can crash.
Bruce Lee is a worldwide fighting icon.
He was 130-something pounds beneath the weapon.
If someone says I can't watch a Bruce Lee film, then I can't talk to him.
He was like the Elvis of martial arts.
When you think of Bruce Lee, you don't think about the Asian karate guy. You think about a legacy.
The moves that he could do, when you were wondering if they were speeding up the camera.
That's some cool stuff right there.
Bruce Lee was like the superhero of the Asian community.
Bruce Lee, Bob Dylan, Ali, Jay-Z, Tiger, Kobe, Jordan, they all had the same spirit.
In the beginning, I had no intent that what I was practicing and what I'm still practicing now would lead to this.
You get mysticism, you get hyper-masculinity. This guy is like, bang.
He's one of a kind and extremely attractive.
He's put balls on Chinese men.
That's the vibe that Bruce Lee taught me. Is to always bring it.
Baby, here I am, man.
Welcome back to the big show. It's Scalzo here with Velvet Chocolate himself, Dave Cunningham. And now we're going to run down the list of our favorite foreign action films, Dave. So whose turn is it to go first? I don't keep track anymore. I really should.
I think it's your turn.
All right, fine. So, my number five, then, is a film that inspired The Departed, Infernal Affairs.
Yeah.
Fantastic film, if you haven't seen it. I still think superior to The Departed. There's something, I think, that gets lost in the translation of the film. Maybe it's the cultural impact, or at least what the cultural stuff that happens in Infernal Affairs. But it's... I think a superior film. It is very exciting, lots of action, and great drama. And it's Tony Leung, I believe, and it's a fantastic film. If you've seen The Departed and you love the film, please do yourself a favor and check out the film that inspired it.
I saw both, and I liked The Departed way better.
I felt, my issue with The Departed, I still think, is that Nicholson is just too big in the movie.
Yeah.
He pulls me out of the film. It feel like it's Nicholson being Nicholson and being big, like Pacino does in his movies now.
Yeah.
He's not,
Pacino's not a good
it yanks me out of whatever movie he's in. So go ahead. What's your number five?
My number five is gonna have to be Leon the Professional.
Okay.
I went back and forth on this because it's set in New York. It's directed by a French guy. I couldn't really decide. Is this really a foreign movie?
Yes, it is. I don't think it debuted here. So
all right, great. I'm glad you agreed with me. I feel much better about it now because my backup was going to have to be La Femme Nikita.
Yeah, no, Leon was initially on my list, but then my problem is when I was originally making my list, I was too recent.
Yeah.
And I started remembering some of my all-time favorite classic films that are action movies. I'm like, oh yeah, I got to get those in my list.
Okay.
So Leon got popped out of my list. Okay.
It's a good movie, though. It's about the young girl hiding from gangsters. She hides in his apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And
Miss Natalie Portman.
Yeah, she eventually finds out that he is actually a hitman.
Yep.
Which is a pretty good setup for a movie. And then he kind of starts training her to be a hitman. It's kind of fun.
Gary Oldman's great in that film, too.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
My number four, then, is a bit of a cliche. Well, I think I almost have all cliches from this point on. But it's Enter the Dragon.
Yeah. Enter the Dragon is a phenomenal movie.
Yes, it is.
Bruce Lee, watching Bruce Lee on film is like watching A-Rod in his prime or like a superior athlete in his prime. The movies all kind of suck though.
Yeah.
But Bruce Lee is so magnetic. It's so, you know what it is about Bruce Lee is there's no other action star. He just portrays this like this control over his body that you just don't get from other guys.
No, that's a really good point. You don't see Stallone with a it's interesting. I never really thought about it that way, but you're entirely correct. In fact, I really can't add anything really to that. So thanks, Dave.
All right, I'll move on with The Legend of Drunken Master. Jackie Chan.
Possibly Jackie Chan's best film.
It is hilarious.
Yes.
But the fun thing about watching Jackie Chan movies, I don't know if it's true anymore because I think he's getting too old to actually do this anymore.
Yeah.
But he didn't use stuntmen.
Yeah.
He didn't use wires. Whatever stunts you see him do, he was doing in real life. And they were just unbelievable to watch. And The Drunken Master is hilarious. It's, you know, yes. It's obviously he's a karate guy, but he gets drunk while he's doing it, and he's like flopping around like an idiot, but he's kicking everybody's ass, and it's hilarious. It's really fun to watch.
No, it's a really great pick. Yeah, I actually forgot about that film. But it reminds me, too, when we were talking about The Raid, I was thinking about that after I walked out to think, how blown away I was by Rumble in the Bronx when I first saw it.
Yeah.
And then to see something like this, like The Raid, it was like, my God, you know, what a fantastic film. Much better. I mean, yeah, but Rumble in the Bronx isn't really the same type of film, so I really shouldn't compare them.
Rumble in the Bronx is tough, too, because I've only ever seen, like, dubbed versions of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's just so cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a lot. It's a hard thing about watching old Bruce Lee movies, too. It's The dubs are so bad, you know, but whatever.
What are you going to do? All
right, so my number four?
Four was Enter the Dragon, so my number three then is 13 Assassins. When it comes to sheer epic scale, and I had a couple Miike films on my list, including Ichi the Killer, which got bumped into an honorable mention. Ichi, I don't know if you've seen Ichi the Killer.
I've never seen it.
You want to talk about violence. That film is disturbingly violent, gory. The content, the stuff that Miike covers, I mean, he's one disturbed man. But 13 Assassins, I think for me, is probably his most mainstream, accessible, and I would say his best film. It is just epic on a grand scale. It's for me, truly the true sequel for me to like The Seven Samurai. The film, it has that Kurosawa feel to it, and it is a fantastic film. It's disturbing.
The action is good, too.
He shows in the beginning, and it may be, some people feel like the first 40 minutes is kind of slow, because it's a long film. But once the confrontation and the ambush begins in that village,
I'll never get the image of that girl out of my head, the screaming girl.
Yep.
Yeah. I'll never get that out of my head. The only reason that's not on my list is because I knew it would be on yours. The only reason I didn't put it on my list.
Fair enough.
My number three is The Chinese Connection to the Bruce Lee movie.
Okay.
I have a hard time with Bruce Lee movies.
Which is the one with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
That's Game of Death.
Okay, that's right.
I kind of see these all as being almost interchangeable.
Yeah.
It's just, like, what actually he does, and, like, I can't remember which one he fights Chuck Norris. That might have been Game of Death, too. That was Chinese Connection, too, I think. Well, it doesn't matter, because they're all kind of the same. You're here for one reason. You want to see Bruce Lee kicking ass. Chinese Connection is a good one. Enter the Dragon is a good one. Enter the Dragon is fun because it's got the higher production values than most of them.
Right.
But it's also got, like, the other two main characters, which kind of distracts me a little bit.
But for me, too, like, John Saxon. But for me, I totally agree. That's why, for me, kind of Enter the Dragon was more like an all-encompassing Bruce Lee thing. Because that was the first one of his films that I actually ever saw.
Yeah.
That was one that had the impact on me. And then moved on from there. Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, like I said, though, the problem with Bruce Lee movies is they're not actually good movies. Like, they're just not that good. Mm-hmm. So it's actually kind of hard to put them on this list.
Yeah.
They'd be better suited for a Best Action Star.
That's a good point.
List, you know, but this still made my number three, so
interesting. Screw it. Fair enough. My number two, then, is a cheat. It's a non-trilogy trilogy.
Uh-huh.
It's Park Chan-wook's Vengeance Trilogy, which is Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance, Old Boy, and Lady Vengeance.
Oh, okay.
Just three fantastic films. For me, Old Boy's number one, then Lady Vengeance, then Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance. But just It's not, and it's not action film in the way that, like, The Raid or 13 Assassins or the, it's more, maybe, it's more action thriller than it is anything else, but, three of my favorite films, three of the, especially Old Boy and Lady Vengeance, when I first saw them, I was so blown away, and I immediately started watching everything that that director had made, and it was one of the films that really kind of hooked me into modern foreign cinema, specifically Old Boy. I know I've talked about it numerous times on the show.
My number two is Run, Lola, Run.
Oh, interesting pick.
I couldn't find anything that said this was an action movie. But when I was watching it for the first time, it feels like an action movie. Because it's like, everything's quick. The whole movie, she's constantly running.
Right.
You know, it's got a very kinetic pace. There's a lot of adrenaline going on. I don't know. To me, if you can call The Social Network an action movie, you can call Run, Lola, Run.
Well, I don't call The Social Network an action movie. I say it's shot like an action movie. It's made like an action movie, but it's not.
But I love that movie. So
I see what you're saying.
It's number two.
Fair enough. So then my number one is the granddaddy for me of them all. It's the film that I first saw at Cine Studio at Trinity College in those uncomfortable wooden seats, sitting there for 3 hours with this renewed, brand new, restored print, and finally getting around to seeing The Seven Samurai. What's your issue with the film?
It's 3 hours and it's kind of just boring.
It is not boring. It's funny. It's smart. There's drama, and then the end of that film is just it's gorgeous. There's so much going on all the time. It is just, and that film for me gets better every time I see it. I see something new every time I see it. All the performances are impeccable. It is just a classic film. One of my all-time favorite movies that I think I'm gonna have to vault. At this point, I shouldn't really talk about it anymore. But that's easily my number one. It's The Seven Samurai. It's inspired so many other films, directors, impacted cinema.
Yeah, there's got to be like 7 to 10 remakes of that movie.
So it's my favorite. So there you go.
I went with Hard Boiled.
I went back and forth on Hard Boiled or The Killer making my list as well, and they got bumped to my honorable mentions.
Yeah, but they're interchangeable for me. Those two movies specifically are John Woo at his very best. Mm. And in the 90s, John Woo changed action movies forever.
And I'm going to say, maybe not necessarily for the better. I mean, it's kinetic and sometimes hard to follow, and plot be damned. And his transition to America didn't really go that well. No,
it didn't. Boy, it didn't.
Face Off.
His Hong Kong movies were freaking awesome, and they still hold up.
Yeah, I'll give you that. So do you have any other honorable mentions?
I still have Lethem Nikita as an honorable mention. 13 Assassins was going to be on my list, but I knew it would be on your list, so I just left it off.
I'd also throw in Neil Marshall's Centurion. It's an English film, I guess that technically counts as being foreign.
Oh, okay.
But it's Michael Fassbender and the Lost Roman Legion.
Yeah, I saw that. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I love that film. So that's it. That's the inventory of our favorite foreign action films. We'd love to hear what yours are. Shoot us an email at thefirstrun@gmail.com. Now, let's take a quick break again. I got to come up with a different phrase. I always say that. We'll take a quick break. And we'll come back and tell you what's coming up next week.
Go shake a tear. And we'll see you in about 3 minutes.
Our Not the Show for this week. Coming up next week, we're going to do the 5-year engagement. Jason Segel, Emily Blunt, and some woman named Allison Brie that I may or may not be obsessed with.
I've never heard of her.
The girl from Community, Annie. She's also on Mad Men.
Okay.
Wow. Dave, you got to get with the times, brother. That's the big show for this week. Check us out on the social networking sites. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Do a search for The First Run. Follow Dave on his Tumblr page. Dave, what's the address for that thing? I like them thick.com or something. What is that?
Yeah, something about booties too. I can't. It's hard to remember.
Just do a Google search.
Just stay away from the image search. It's bad. It's bad. Not safe for work.
And that's the show for this week. We're going to take an extended break, and we'll see you all in a week.